This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Well, good morning, America. This is Gun Owners News Hour, and today I bring you somebody different. Well, not just me. I've had him with us before, and I have not had him with us in a minute, so I decided we were going to do that today. Joining me from Yuma, Arizona. He writes for the biggest website of its type on the planet. He's the biggest writer there, which makes him the biggest writer of this type on the planet. More articles, more prolific. His name is Dean Weingarten. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Bill. Glad to be here.
Well, let's kick this off. One of the things you've written lately that was published on the 3rd of August coming out of Ameland, the Second Amendment insurrectionist purpose. That's the argument they've got out there right now. The reason, and so tell me about this. This is really an intellectual reach, isn't it?
It's just silly. It's the other side in an echo chamber where they're only reading themselves and not really making a good argument. I mean, if you're in their echo chamber, it sounds reasonable. And I've seen this argument put forward several different places. And, I think they're bouncing off each other and they're saying, well, that sounds good. It's kind of like those discussions that people have in dorm rooms in college, that what they put forward may sound good, but they really don't know much about the subject, so they're just kind of speculating. And if you haven't studied the issue, you can put forward obvious answers that don't work. And what their argument is they say the newly formed constitutional government would never have created an amendment with the purpose of destroying the government they just created. But there's a lot of issues with that. And it's put out by generally fairly far left, what I would call far left publications. And the recent one that I read it in is EugeneWeekly.com. And I'll quote them so that I don't think I will. They can be so misunderstood. I can't be accused of misquoting them. Here's what they said. That newly created narrative, and they're referring to the Heller decision,
right,
included the supposed purpose of arming citizens in order to enable them to rebel against the very constitutional government which the founders were establishing with its checks and balances. This despite the founders having defined treason as taking up arms against that very government. But this glaring contradiction persisted and found a home in the halls of the Supreme Court. And there's a little more, but basically, the argument doesn't hold up because there's a bunch of things in it that they are assuming which aren't true. And it's obvious to me that the person who wrote it has not read the history of the Revolutionary War. They haven't read the Federalist Papers. They haven't considered the arguments surrounding the Bill of Rights. They don't understand the rudiments of the political theories the Constitution is based on. They may not have read the Constitution itself. I mean, if you have any kind of understanding of any one of these fields, it provides ample refutation of the argument they put forward. And so I'm going to dissect with the various examples I've given why this argument is silly. And it is silly. The first is that one of the principal causes of the Revolutionary War was the attempt by the government of England, specifically the king, to disarm the American colonists. That was a major problem for the colonists. It's one of the things they really rejected. And the proximate start of the conflict was when the Crown decided to confiscate publicly and privately owned weapons. And the attempt to confiscate those weapons, and they'd already done it before, resulted in armed conflict, the battles of Lexington and Concord. And the British, I mean, in wars, it's very often the wars start in part because the opponents have a poor understanding of the opposite side. And in the Revolutionary War, the king's officers had a poor understanding of colonists, and they said, ah, give them a couple shots of gunpowder, and they'll just go running like rabbits. Well, when they tried to take the weapons at Lexington and Concord, the Minutemen rallied, and they fought vociferously against the British regulars, who had to retreat all the way back to Boston, and they lost, I think, about half of their members on the way. And it was a resounding defeat of the regulars, and it showed the colonists that they could win, and it started the American Revolution. So the idea that the revolutionaries, who just won this war with a major power, and one of the major points of contention was that that power attempted to disarm them, that they were now going to allow a government that they had just created, allow them to have the power to disarm them, it doesn't make sense. And during the argument about the ratification of the Constitution in the Federalist Papers, we have direct quotes from people talking about the advantages of having an armed population. Not just a militia, but an armed population. And I included a couple of quotes in the article from Noah Webster. He said the supreme power in America cannot enforce unjust laws because the whole body of the people are armed and constitute a force superior to any band of regular troops. And then James Madison, who wrote the Bill of Rights, he was pushed into it, but he wrote it. Besides the advantage of being armed, which the Americans possess over the people of almost every other nation, the existence of subordinate governments to which the people are attached and by which the militia officers are appointed forms a barrier against the enterprises of ambition, more insurmountable than any which a simple government of any form could admit of. So here we have two people, you know, discussing in about whether the Constitution should be ratified or not. And they're talking about the advantage of Americans in being armed, the whole people, not just less militia. So we ratified the Constitution, and then we formed and ratified a Bill of Rights. And the Bill of Rights was a compromise in a way, in that the people who did not want this concentration of power in the federal government insisted that a Bill of Rights be attached to the Constitution. And it was understood, and a number of the colonies who ratified the Constitution ratified it on the condition that a Bill of Rights would be attached. So after the Constitution was ratified in, I think it was late in 89, then the Bill of Rights was put forward almost immediately with the first Congress. James Madison wrote the Bill of Rights, and that went out to all of the states, and it was enthusiastically ratified by not just the state governments, but by the people. It was very highly accepted and was immediately put into effect in the Constitution. And it wasn't the people who wrote the Constitution, because they didn't put the Bill of Rights in there at first. It was the people who were against federal power who insisted that the Bill of Rights be in there. So when this argument says, well, the government would never have included a provision that allowed for itself to be overthrown, well, that's nonsense, because it wasn't the same people. The people who insisted on the Bill of Rights were not the same ones who pushed for the Constitution.
Let me get you to hold up right there. Let me get you to hold up. We're coming up on the first break, talking to Dean Weingart about this. And I've been looking at this Eugene Weekly, and this is a real leftist publication, Dean. But I got a few questions about this when we get back. So you can find this article at amoland.com. We'll be right back. This is Gun Owners News Hour.
Attention, your money is now controlled by the U.S. government.
Picture a world where your every purchase is monitored, tracked, and controlled by those in power to suppress the freedoms of those they see fit. Hi, my name is Jason Hansen. I'm a former CIA officer and New York Times bestselling author. And right now, I've become very focused on the impending rollout of the central bank digital currency. This is not a work of fiction. It's a terrifying reality looming on the horizon. But there is a bit of good news. I've partnered with Advantage Gold to offer you a solution. They are specialists in converting your traditional assets, like those inside an IRA or 401k, into tangible assets such as physical gold and silver. Don't allow your money to be controlled. Claim your free gold protection kit from Advantage Gold. Call 800-900-8000, 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor.
Call 800-900-8000.
For over 25 years, Arrow Precision has paved the way as a leading manufacturer of American-made AR parts. Arrow Precision caters to the rifle builder by engineering quality receivers, handguards, and other essential parts. Arrow Precision's added enhancements create a smooth build process from start to finish for beginners and seasoned builders. Whether this is your first rifle or your 50th, Arrow Precision offers everything you need to make a quality AR at an affordable price.
At Spikes Tactical, we are all shooters with a very simple mission. Make the best product we can perfect at the best possible price for our consumers. We strive to produce the best components and rifles available, with quality control second to none, because real-world events don't allow for a second chance. Whether you are an operator, competitor, or home defender, Spikes Tactical will serve you well. Go to SpikesTactical.com. Spikes Tactical, 100% American-made to the highest standard.
Honorary Forest Ranger Betty White here, lending a hand to my dear friend Smokey Bear, because for 75 years, he's only said,
"Only you can prevent wildfires."
But there's a lot more to say. Like, if you park your car on tall, dry grass, the hot exhaust pipe can start a wildfire. So be careful out there. Go to SmokeyBear.com to learn more about wildfire prevention. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, veterinarian and naturopathic physician. The Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy with an important message. Take charge of your health. Do not continue to blindly follow the system that has failed us all. I appreciate GCN listeners because you're open-minded and intelligent. If our system is so great, why is it that the United States, the USA, ranks nearly 60th worldwide in longevity and number one in obesity? All the while we spend more money than all the other countries combined annually on unnecessary health care procedures and toxic drugs. It doesn't take much to get on track. Not with the government or pharmaceutical companies, but rather you in control of your own health with a basic understanding of nutrition and supplementation. FDI Longevity has the finest quality health, sports, and energy supplements available. GCN listeners are invited to join our team of people who want to stay healthy well into old age. You're currently looking for specialists to represent FDI Longevity and save America. To buy products at wholesale prices or join our business team, go to GCNteam.com. That's GCNteam.com. Support GCN. Get healthy.
Are you a business owner? Are you confused by the complexity of the tax laws? We can help. I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been helping business owners solve tax problems for over 40 years. My book, The Small Business Tax Guide, shows proven ways to avoid all the common business tax problems. Don't risk your business. Go to danpilla.com to order your copy. That's danpilla.com. Order now and get a free 15-minute call directly with me, a $99 value. Go to danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com.
And welcome back. This is Gun Owners News Hour, and instead of just me talking to you, I'm joined today by Dean Weingarten from Yuma, Arizona, writer at AMLAN, biggest writer of his type on the planet. Dean, in the on the front page of EugeneWeekly.com, we get this about this particular article as part of some series they call Viewpoint. Only a strained interpretation of the Second Amendment can support widespread ownership of military weapons. Among small arms, when did we first start seeing automatic weapons show up in the military inventories? Do you have any data on that?
Well, for semi-automatic, I think it was the Mexican Army that first adopted a semi-automatic. And it was around 1900. And we had semi-automatics came into use by civilians about the same time.
Right.
We have, I think it was 1906, that's the Model 8 Remington semi-automatic rifle. So they weren't really common until 1900 or so. And then quickly we had a number of them. And now semi-automatic pistols were adopted much faster than semi-automatic rifles. I mean, the Mexican semi-automatic rifle was not made in large quantities, but it was out there. And so it wasn't really until World War II that semi-automatic rifles were made in large quantities for military, but we had machine guns before then. We had, of course, the Gatling gun. It's not a true machine gun as we think of them because it's manually operated as a crank. And there were a number of other manually operated, relatively fast repeaters that came into use from about the Civil War until about 1900. But Maxim put out the machine gun that was really successful. I think it was about 1896 or so. And one of the big reasons that happened was because people invented, I think the French were the first to come up with a successful smokeless powder for their small arms. And black powder tends to foul things pretty rapidly.
Right.
So even though the Gatling gun worked pretty well with black powder, I don't recall us having any automatic weapons that worked, at least on the modern principles, with black powder. You had to get the smokeless powder, and that didn't come in until the 1890s. And then you started getting semi-automatic weapons.
In times past, the lever rifles, those were military issue.
Right? Oh, absolutely they were.
Pump shotguns were military issue.
Yes.
Revolvers were a military issue.
And what we find is that very often the civilians were the first to use military issue guns or the new technology.
I think.
Revolvers were adopted by civilians, and the military rejected them. And this is just sort of a general viewpoint that militaries tend to be conservative in that they like the old stuff. They don't want to change.
Well, they also, I mean, how long has it been to where you have to make a proposal, then write a TM, then write this, and then the testing begins, and they get it, and they do all this? I mean, getting a new weapon into inventory today is a years-long undertaking.
Yeah, today, and even I think they tended to be even more conservative back in when they were developing the technology in the 1800s. I mean, they rejected the percussion cap because it was different. That was so clearly superior. And then they rejected, cartridge arms for a while. But war has a way of sorting everything out very quickly.
Right.
And during the Civil War, we found the advantages of cartridge arms very rapidly, and we converted that pretty fast right after the Civil War. And then we used a number of the Henry. There were several cartridge arms during the Civil War that we used, and the troops loved them. And Abraham Lincoln loved them too, but you just could only manufacture so many so fast, so most of the war was fought with muzzle loaders. So do you want to get back to the talking about the...
Yeah, I was just curious about this, because the thing that they put out there all the time is that we shouldn't have military weapons.
Yeah, that's so idiotic. I mean, Well, it's not idiotic because they're pushing a propaganda agenda.
Sure.
But the one of the big purposes of the Second Amendment is a military purpose, which is to hold the federal government in check. And so you want to have reasonably effective arms that are effective militarily in the hands of the population. So I would argue that the AR-15, semi-auto, I'll say, I don't think it, for militia purposes, it doesn't have a huge difference whether it's full auto or semi-auto. But semi-auto, it makes a great militia weapon. And, or if it was either way, you know, it would still be a great militia weapon. But Judge Benitez out of the Ninth Circuit in Southern California, when he wrote about how the California law essentially banning so-called assault weapons, which they included the AR-15, he said the AR-15 is a great multi-purpose weapon. It works great for home defense, great, and it works great as a militia weapon. And he was absolutely correct. So this, they're just trying to salami slice the Second Amendment. So you can't have this, you can't have that. Pretty soon, we'll allow you to have muzzle-loading single-shot shotguns, one per family.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, yeah. I mean, that's how you degrade a right into irrelevancy. And fortunately, we are winning, and the logic and the arguments on our side are very persuasive, and the other side doesn't like it. And they are not willing to see the logic and the arguments very often. So, in the Eugene Weekly, or in answer to them, I would say, that there was also natural law. And there still is. There, natural law has never gone away. It's a set of political theories about how governments should be formed and what rights people have and how a government should behave. And the founders of the Constitution were proponents and believers in natural law and natural rights theory. And in that theory, and it was popular in England too, wasn't just here, there's a famous British lawyer, Sir William Blackstone, who talked about the rights of Englishmen. And he talked about how natural law related to the British rights to keep and bear arms.
Let me get you to hold up right there. Pick it up on the other side. Talking to Dean Weingarten. We'll be right back. This is Gun Owners News Hour. At Chambers Custom, we have one job. We strive to build the most obsessively reliable, accurate, and beautiful pistols for the discriminating gun owner. Using the ageless 1911 design with a 21st century approach to each part and component, Chambers Custom meticulously begins each pistol as a standalone project, creating a bespoke, handcrafted, peerless firearm. They integrate all of the internal, external, and intrinsic elements that make a custom 1911 unique. Go to ChambersCustom.com. Chambers Custom, truly the mechanical advantage.
For over 25 years, Arrow Precision has paved the way as a leading manufacturer of American-made AR parts. Arrow Precision caters to the rifle builder by engineering quality receivers, handguards, and other essential parts. Arrow Precision's added enhancements create a smooth build process from start to finish for beginners and seasoned builders. Whether this is your first rifle or your 50th, Arrow Precision offers everything you need to make a quality AR at an affordable price.
USA News Update. The Biden administration says the latest jobs report indicates slow and steady growth for the economy. The comments come after July data show the smallest jobs increase since 2020. The unemployment rate fell slightly to 3.5%. Wall Street closing the week on a sour note comes as the markets reacted to poor corporate earnings releases. At the closing bell, the Dow Jones Industrial Average lost 150 points. Former President Trump's election case now moving to the pretrial phase. after he pleaded not guilty to felony charges.
Lawyers will be filing briefs leading up to the next hearing scheduled for August 28th, where a trial date is likely to be scheduled. Justice Department lawyers are pushing for the case to be tried quickly, while Trump's defense argues it could take years to review the government's evidence and gather their own. I'm Lisa Taylor.
Trump on Truth Social Friday called for the U.S. Supreme Court to intervene on his behalf. I'm Ryan Daniels, USA News.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
Welcome back. This is Gun Owners News Hour. My guest today is Dean Weingarten. I'm going to read you the short form of his bio. He's been a peace officer, a military officer. He was on the University of Wisconsin pistol team for 4 years. First certified to teach firearm safety in 1973. He taught the Arizona concealed carry course for 15 years until the goal of constitutional carry was attained. He has degrees in meteorology and mining engineering and retired from the Department of Defense after a 30-year career in Army research, development, testing, and evaluation. And now he's just the biggest gun rider on the planet. Did I cover most of it?
Yeah, and you made me smile because, I look back on that 30-year career and overall it was a pretty good time, and I'm having an excellent time writing about firearms and firearms technology and firearms litigation and the Constitution. It's a great time to be alive.
Well, for those of you that are big open carry advocates, Dean, there is no bigger open carrier on the planet today than Dean Weingarten. He goes into grocery stores with an AR-15 and a Glock in Arizona. But so anyway,
for political purposes. Yes, I was talking about how Sir William Blackstone, who explained natural law as it related to English law back in the 1800s, actually in the late 1700s, and he talked about the right to arms as the fifth and last auxiliary right of the subject. And by auxiliary right, he is talking about how under natural law, you have a right to life. And no one is allowed to take your life without due process, not legitimately. Now, that doesn't mean that somebody can't murder you or the state can't murder a few million of us as communists did over the last century. It means they don't have a legitimate right to do so. And so under English law, he said, the subjects are allowed to have arms for their defense suitable to their condition and degree, and such as are allowed by law. And it's indeed a public allowance under due restrictions of the natural rights of resistance and self-preservation when the sanctions of society and laws are found insufficient to restrain the violence of oppression. So, under the English law, there were restraints on the right to keep and bear arms. And then St. George Tucker was a prominent revolutionary in the American Revolution, and he became one of the foremost legal authorities in the United States. And he explained the difference between the American right to arms and the British right to arms. And he said, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. This without any qualifications as to their condition or degree, as is the case in the British government. So what happened is the Americans, from their view of having won the Revolutionary War, said, you know, that British right to arms, it wasn't sufficiently strong to protect us from the king. So our Constitution is going to have a much stronger protection of the right to arms, and it won't be subject to conditions. In other words, just because you're a certain class doesn't mean you get more rights in the right to arms. And then, you know, I thought it was just silly in the Eugene Weekly. They said, well, the people in the Constitution, they put in these checks and balances. They definitely would not have put in the idea of allowing people to rebel against the government. But that's the whole purpose of checks and balances, is to prevent the government from becoming tyrannical. So it is not unreasonable to believe that they would include another check on governments which might become tyrannical, and that is of having the people armed so that the government could not disarm them. Not without cost, anyway. And if the cause becomes that the government says, you know, we don't trust these people, we're going to disarm them, well, then it's time for another revolution, probably. Now, the beauty of the Second Amendment is that it makes it hard for tyrants to overcome it. And what we see in the people who want a disarmed population today is they're not willing to do it all at once. Yeah, but that's a little too obvious. So we want to subvert the Second Amendment to say, well, you can have guns only if we allow you to have them. And then we want to get a count. And we want everybody out there to let us know what guns they have, you know, register them. And then maybe we can go at it like the British did, little bit by little bit. Well, this group can't have these guns, and then that group can't have those guns, and then nobody can have these, and little by little making it harder and harder to legitimately own guns, and then you start taking them away bit by bit, so that in two or three generations, you know, when our great-grandsons find some guns hidden away in an attic somewhere, they go, oh my God, we've got to turn these into the police right away.
Right away.
That reaction in England.
Well, I mean, here's the thing, and I've been looking at the musings on totalitarians here lately by I can't remember the dude's name, but it's I looked at his stuff, and well. I've come to the conclusion that they can't really get too much out of us unless we're willing to give it to them. Would you agree with that?
Oh, yeah, which is why they take over the schools. You know, teach people that your first duty is to give the government what they want.
Right.
Not that the government's first duty is to help us get what we want.
I'll tell you one thing that I've also noticed, and this is something I've read about. Generation Z, you and I both look at Generation Z, for the most part, as snowflakes, I know. They have started giving up smartphones because they don't want the constant surveillance. Even though we've read the reports about their being willing to take the surveillance, a lot of them are just going to flip phones now. Which is, to me, that's an interesting little twist going on at the moment.
I would love to see some freedom-loving people in the Congress, and I don't know if there's anybody there with the guts or if they could do it, just mandate that all future phones have a on-off mechanical switch for GPS, so you don't have to be tracked if you want to be tracked.
Yeah. Well, the mobile phone, which should be, you know, there's more computing power in any one mobile phone than what we took to go to the moon. Is that correct?
Oh, wait, that's probably a thousand times more.
Yeah. So we should be at a crossroads where we're sitting here and we're realizing warp speed and the Vulcans are coming down and we're going to be accepted into the Federation, but we haven't crossed over to that. I guess it's the nature of man or whatever that we can't handle that awesome responsibility. Is that what it is?
Yeah, well, I think we're alone in the universe effectively for extraterrestrials, but that doesn't mean that there can't be some type of cross-dimensional or demonic or whatever, or time traveler.
Sure.
Or, you know, there's all kinds of possibilities.
Wide open. Yeah.
We just do not see, I do not see much evidence of aliens from other planets.
Before we get off on the alien talk, we're headed into the last break. You can find Dean's work at amaland.com. Now there, once you go there, if you're looking for Dean Weingarten, go down to the bottom and look at all contributors. Although you'll probably find two or three of his articles on the front page. Click on all contributors and look for Dean Weingarten. He'll be in the middle on the left. Go down to that column. Click his name. You've opened up an archive with 2,200 plus other articles that he's written, all poignant, as much today as they were the day they were written, just because of the way he covers it and the actual application of science that he puts in his writing. We'll be right back. This is Gun Owners News Hour.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Do you need to get your hands on some extra money right now? Maybe $25,000 or more? If you're a homeowner, now is the perfect time to get cash out while homes in many neighborhoods like yours have gone up in value. You can use the money for anything. It's yours. You can buy an investment property, pay off higher interest debt, or make home improvements. If you need $25,000, $50,000, or more, now is the time. Home values are up, and so is your equity. We offer you a way to use it. No need to use your savings. Call New American Funding now and see how much cash out you can get. Call 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. That's 800-721-2477. NMLS 6606. www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org. This is not an offer or commitment to lend. Subject to borrower and property qualifications. Not all borrowers will qualify. Terms and conditions apply. Equal housing opportunity.
Are you curious about what might be missing from your diet and supplement choices? Take a free health assessment to identify your possible nutrient deficiencies. As a certified holistic health coach, I will help you assess and prioritize a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the mineral doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
One more time, shall we? This is Gun Owners News Hour. Talking to Dean Weingarten. One of the things that Dean does better than anybody else, he has looked very carefully at the relationship between man and bears, wherever they may be. And the other day, he threw out a very nice article back in July about the bear attacks in Japan. Who'd have thunk it? And I want to talk about that just because I never had considered that. Although I found something out today. Do you know which animal kills the most people in the United States?
In the United States, probably white-tailed deer, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
No, dogs.
No, deer. No. Dogs. Dogs came in second. Deer came in first.
Okay. Yeah, deer. But, you know, I've also found that cows kill quite a few people in the U.S. too, relatively speaking. But, yeah, dogs are second in there. So I was pretty close in my estimation.
Anyway,
so let's go to bears.
Let's go to bears.
Yeah, I've written quite a bit, as you know, about bear attacks, mostly in the United States, but all over the world, too. And in 2021, which is the last year we have much for records, northernmost island of Japan, maybe I'm going to mispronounce it, but Hokkaido, it was the last island colonized by Japan against the indigenous population, and the wildest one, and it has this very large population of enormous bears. Now, they're a subspecies of the grizzly bear, brown bear, Kodiak bear. They're all about the same, you know, slightly different. I'm sure they would all interbreed just well. But the bears in Hokkaido tend to be dark. They tend to be close to black in a lot of them. And interestingly enough, a little island just to the west that's administered by the Russians has a subspecies of these bears that has about 10% of them have a good deal of white in the coat. So it's just the way they look, but they're essentially the same thing as our Kodiak bears, which are very large grizzly bears.
Yeah.
Because they have access to a lot of food.
Right.
They have access to salmon, you know, big salmon runs, and it's the same on the island of Hokkaido. They've made a national park of the peninsula where these bears are in the greatest density. But around, I think it was 76, they decided that the bears needed protection. Before that, they just treated them as pests. And they encouraged people to kill moths because they injured people and they did a lot of property damage. And in the 1960s, they were killing about or harvesting several hundred bears a year. And I know that because in 2021, they had four people were killed by bears in Hokkaido, and the number of bears that were harvested in illegal hunting was about 45, which is a very small number. But the government killed over 1,000 bears in 2021. Now, it's fiscal year 2021. I'm not sure why they keep track that way in Japan, but it is. And so over 1,000 killed by the government, and it was the highest figure on record since 1962. But that says they were killing a lot of bears back in 1962. And when you consider that the population now is estimated at about 12,000 bears, that's roughly 8% of the bears have to be killed off every year to keep the population in check. That's a pretty significant percentage.
Now, how did they kill the bears? Because the guns aren't allowed there.
Well, it appears that they mostly use a form of trap, which is similar to our snares. It's a foot snare, and they have the trigger mechanism is a little bit different than our commercial snares, but it's essentially the same. It's got a spring that snaps the snare shut on the foot, and they have a cylinder of metal that holds the snare in place, and they probably put some bait in there, and when the bear reaches down to try to get the bait, the snare goes on the foot. And then, I'm presuming they're using standard practice of, in the U.S., that snare would be attached to a log, so that while the bear could exert pressure on it, it just keeps the snare tight, and then they move the log. But they can't move it fast, and they can't move it far, and it leaves a big trail so that it's easy to track them down. Now, since it's the government, and the government has access to firearms, I would suspect the government would shoot the bear to kill it. But I don't know for certain, and I came across one discussion that said that because firearms are so hard to come by in Japan, that they use these snares, and once they caught a bear with one foot, they would move around, and like the old cowboys used to do with grizzlies, they would attempt to catch another foot with some type of device. Maybe it'd be a snare at the end of a pole or something, and once they could get two, they'd pull them another opposite directions, and then they'd get three or four, and once they had the bear immobilized, that they would then use a blade of some kind to kill the bear. Seems like a lot of trouble. And
yeah, that's a lot of moving parts.
Well, and dangerous, too. Even if the bear has just got one foot that's kind of immobilized, that gives it a pretty wide range of action. Maybe they've developed techniques. But since most of them are killed by government, like I said, take one old Arisaka, and it'll work great for killing off bears if they're essentially immobilized with a snare. Now, what you don't see in Japan are people defending themselves with handguns, because it's almost impossible for a person to own a handgun in Japan. It's not quite impossible. I talked to when I was at Yuma Proving Ground, we had a number of Japanese officers and high-level bureaucrats come over to assist in testing their equipment. And I met a lieutenant colonel who was an avid pistol shooter, and he wanted to shoot stuff here. And apparently he had access to a Colt Woodsman back in Japan. I don't know if he owned it personally or if it was in a gun club and that he could then visit the range and so on. But he was actually a decent shot, and he loved to shoot my Woodsman when he was here. But so that if you are connected in the right way with the right people, you might be able to shoot a pistol at a gun club.
Yeah. Got to know the right people.
And I know that the Olympic shooters there in Japan have access to guns, but again, they can't keep them in their homes. They have to go to a gun club for pistols anyway. They might be able to keep a rifle or a shotgun. But most of them are very highly controlled and regulated, and it's just the way it is. You know, it's been built into their culture for a couple hundred years. They gave up the gun back around 1600 or so. Maybe it was a little later, 1650. They were a preeminent gun using nation with the early matchlocks. The Portuguese brought them over, and the Japanese copied them, and then they improved them. But once the shoguns basically conquered all of Japan, unified all of it, they said, you know, we don't like these guns. They make our samurai, a peasant with a gun can kill a samurai. That's not good. So they started licensing them.
Right.
The sounds. And then they said, well, first off, you got to have a license to make guns. Then all the people, if you want to make guns, you got to move to the capital city and you can make guns there. And then they started reducing the number of licenses until essentially there were just a few guns and a few armories, and no, very few people had the
We got it. We got to end it there, Dean. We're about to run out of time.
It's always a pleasure.
Hey, listen, I appreciate you taking the time to do this. I don't get to do Gun Owners News Hour with Dean. I think this is probably the third time in the last 5 years that I've been doing it. So thank you very much for taking the time to join me.
You're welcome.
Everybody, keep your heads up. Stay aware. Carry your weapon everywhere you can. This has been Gun Owners News Hour. At Spikes Tactical, we are all shooters with a very simple mission. Make the best product we can perfect at the best possible price for our consumers. We strive to produce the best components and rifles available, with quality control second to none, because real-world events don't allow for a second chance. Whether you are an operator, competitor, or home defender, Spikes Tactical will serve you well. Go to SpikesTactical.com. Spikes Tactical, 100% American-made to the highest standard. At Chambers Custom, we have one job. We strive to build the most obsessively reliable, accurate, and beautiful pistols for the discriminating gun owner. Fusing the ageless 1911 design with a 21st century approach to each part and component, Chambers Custom meticulously begins each pistol as a standalone project, creating a bespoke, handcrafted, peerless firearm. They integrate all of the internal, external, and intrinsic elements that make a custom 1911 unique. Go to ChambersCustom.com. Chambers Custom, truly the mechanical advantage.
At Social Security, we are always thinking of ways to save you time and make things easier. That's why we created My Social Security. Opening a My Social Security account gives you secure access to your personal record and interactive tools tailored for you. You can see if you are eligible to receive benefits, view spousal benefit estimates, and compare retirement benefit estimates at different ages or dates when you want to start receiving benefits. Already receiving benefits? Use your account to change your address, set up or change direct deposit, get a proof of income letter, and more. In most states, you can also request a replacement Social Security card. Save time. Go online. Open a My Social Security account at ssa.gov/myaccount. Social Security. Securing today and tomorrow.
Produced at U.S. taxpayer expense.